Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining you this week is Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Welcome back, Ed. What a fascinating week in New York State politics we had.
It was fascinating. Absolutely, Alan. It's always good to be with you again.
So tell me about this ousting of Joe Crowley in his district. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, he outspent Ocasio-Cortez by 18 to 1. So it proves money doesn't necessarily make things happen in politics, particularly when the people are energized and want to get out there and want to vote because they've got something to say to their public officials. And clearly they did. That's the way it works. And I think there's a lot of that kind of energy across the board here in New York State at this point in time, including in the Republican Party.
I was going to just say that to you. You know, I remember when George Pataki was the governor, and I've certainly seen it with Andrew Cuomo. You know, there's an awful lot of pay to play in the state. People want contracts that give you a lot of money. It's pretty simple, cash on the barrel head. How do you avoid that?
Well, the first thing is term limits are good. And our
I agree.
Mark Molinaro, he has come out strongly for term limits. He's limiting himself to two terms when he's elected governor. And he's made it clear that's one of the first things he's going to do is put that in the legislature and for legislators as well as for statewide elected officials. Two terms are enough.
Okay, so we can take that as at least an implicit criticism of your candidate, George Pataki, who served three terms?
Yeah, look, he did three terms. I'm not sure the third term was necessarily his best term. Cuomo's going for a fourth term for his party. His father went for a fourth term. It didn't work out for him. You know, if you're in office too long, you have passed your time. The ideas that elected you are not the ideas that that the state needs. They need something new. They need the new energy. And they need someone younger who really relates to the new population of the state. That's the way things should work in politics.
So are you sanguine, if that's the right word, about the fact that your candidate, Mark Molinaro, is so far behind in the polls?
Well, he is at this point, 4 years ago in June, in the same poll, the Siena poll, Rob Astorino, our Republican candidate for governor, was at 21% against Andrew Cuomo. Mark Molinaro is now at 37%. That puts him in a much better position than we were 4 years ago. And we've got momentum here. And meanwhile, we've got another federal trial going on exposing the pay-to-play corrupt politics of Cuomo that got him reelected in 2014. And in his own party, it's split. He has not only the opposition of Cynthia Nixon, but also now of really a person who was the mayor for two terms, and she was term limited, by the way, Stephanie Miner of Syracuse, who was Andrew Cuomo's appointed chairwoman of the Democratic Party for several years, and now she has turned against him because she feels that his policies are just the wrong policies for New York State, and she's going to be running an independent campaign for governor. His party is split. They're tired of his pay-to-play politics.
He does seem to be awfully testy right now after the unexpected victory in Queens.
It was not just Queens, but you go to the John Faso's congressional, or Elise Stefanik's. By the way, talk about youth movement. Elise Stefanik was the youngest woman ever elected to Congress, and now if she is elected, Ocasio-Cortez will be the youngest woman by 2 years. So we both have youth movements going on in our parties, and that's good.
But I want to bring you back.
And then also with respect to John Katko's in each of those congress, they had large primaries, a number of contestants, and the most progressive candidate from the Democratic side won. That's where the energy is in the Democratic Party. I'm not sure it's good to win in the end, but it's where the energy is.
Yeah, I was going to say, you seem to have your tongue in your cheek, Mr. Chairman, a little bit, because I suspect you think that by nominating a progressive candidate for Congress in a purple district, you may get an advantage to the Republicans.
I think we have really good. John Fassa's very strong. Elise Stefanik's very strong. John Katko, even though it's a D+6 congressional today, he's very strong there. Very progressive in those upstate districts and Hudson Valley districts. A progressive candidate will not fare as well as a more moderate candidate. So that helps. That helps our members of Congress get reelected.
Now, Cynthia Nixon, who is, of course, engaged in a primary against Andrew Cuomo, now says that Ocasio-Cortez's win will mean that she, Nixon, can beat Andrew Cuomo in a primary. What do you think?
I saw Andrew Cuomo taking the news and trying to deal with it. He did not look very happy about Ocasio-Cortez's victory. Again, outspent 18-1, she still won because of the progressive energy in that, not just that congressional district, as I pointed out, all across New York State. That's a real problem for Andrew Cuomo, and Cynthia Nixon is doing a very good job of capitalizing. You know, she endorsed Ocasio-Cortez the day before the election, and of course was with her on election eve, and this has really energized her campaign. That is a concern for Andrew Cuomo.
Let's go from there to the attorney general's race. So the question is, will New Yorkers vote for a Republican? The Republican Keith Wofford, a partner at the law firm of Ropes and Gray, is running with the backing of the party. Now you got all these other people, Sean Patrick Maloney. I want to talk about him separately. Zephyr Teachout, Leisha Eve, a former advisor to Hillary Clinton, and Governor Andrew Cuomo, now a lobbyist. What do you make of that race?
That race, once Eric Schneiderman resigned from office in disgrace, as, of course, there's been a succession of attorney generals who, for attorney general, AGs meant aspiring governor. They were reaching for something. They weren't concerned like Louis Lefkowitz or Bob Abrams of just being good lawyers and doing their job as the state's lawyer. We have a candidate in Keith Wofford. He from Buffalo, his father, blue-collar family. His father worked in the Chevrolet factory there. Wofford left in 11th grade to go to Harvard on a scholarship. His cum laude there, Harvard Law School, comes down to New York City, the mecca for bright people like him, becomes a successful lawyer 25 years later, doing very well financially, and he wants to give something back. And he is he's co-managing partner of his firm, and he just wants to be the state's lawyer. He's not aspiring to do anything more than be the state's lawyer and help clean up the corruption in Albany and in New York State, and then go home and be a good lawyer. He likes practicing law. That's what he wants to do, as opposed to just trying to climb the greasy pole to some higher office as the Spitzer, Cuomo, and Schneiderman trio did, and two of them crashed and burned, and Cuomo, who I call the most corrupt governor in more than 100 years.
Did you just say the most corrupt governor in more than 100 years? That's pretty gutsy of you.
It is indeed. You go back historically and take a look at it. You will not find another governor who abused the public trust in the use of government funds for his own political advancement as Andrew Cuomo has. And I know the Cuomo people have fact-checked me with some people who are very knowledgeable about the history of state government, and they have told them, no, Ed Cox is right. Andrew Cuomo is the most corrupt governor in his abuse of government powers for his own political advancement in more than 100 years.
Okay, so
you wouldn't see an FDR or a Rockefeller or a Harriman or a Lehman or a Mario Cuomo doing what Andrew Cuomo did, throwing money around these empty factories all across the upstate landscape, which he used for his reelection in 2014. It's all coming back to haunt him now, as it should. because it was an abuse of his powers. And these trials that are going on, we've never seen that kind of corruption in New York State over the last 100 years at the gubernatorial level. They put in their personal pockets and therefore have been indicted what Andrew Cuomo put in his campaign funds, basically rigging bids for people who were his big financial contributors.
Okay, Ed Cox, but let's go back here, you know, a minute. How come, if that's all true, the voters in New York City, when polled, say, we don't seem to care?
Oh, they do care. They already had a hint of this back in 2014. You know, Andrew Cuomo got 900,000 less votes in 2014 than he got in 2010. And now you take a look how Mark Molinaro is 21 points ahead at this point in the Siena poll than where Rob Astorino, our gubernatorial candidate 4 years ago, was. There is a huge anyone but Cuomo sentiment out there. And I think it was reflected partially in the way the progressive candidates are winning in the congressional Democratic primaries all across New York State, in that Queens district.
But wait, why are you saying that if, in fact, Cuomo's polling in the city, in the boroughs, seems to be so strong?
His job approval in the Siena poll is at 40%. And if you discount it with respect to what the vote turnout will be, because the Siena poll overrates New York City, normally upstate turns out 47-49%. According to Bruce Gorey, who is a Democratic academician who analyzes these things, that's what happens in every gubernatorial race. Upstate is near 50% of the vote. His job approval for the voting public will be about 35%. That's pretty low for a governor.
Well, it's lower than
President Trump's national job approval, which is now approaching 45%.
And speaking of that guy, he is despised by so many New Yorkers. That puts you at a real disadvantage in this election, doesn't it?
It's very interesting. Andrew Cuomo always talks about Trump, Trump, Trump. It's always Trump. He's campaigning to be president of the United States, using New Yorkers as a stepping stone to the presidency. He knows that, as far as he's concerned, New York State is a lost cause for him. New York State would rather get rid of him. He is looking to be president of the United States, and New Yorkers are just stepping stones for him to the presidency. He wants to go where his father did not go. As you know, Mario Cuomo thought of going for president, but he understood that it was not the time. He shouldn't do it. Andrew Cuomo is just looking to go one more climb up the greasy pole to be president. He's not going to make it because he's not going to get even reelected governor. Mark Molinaro, our candidate, he's very straightforward. He just wants to govern. He's good at governing. We convinced him that he was ready to govern the state of New York very well, like he governed Dutchess County as their county executive. He's got the charisma, he's got the skills, and he fits New York and what New York needs now. A governor who, believe it or not, is just going to govern New York rather than thinking about his own political ambitions and being president of the United States.
Now, Ed Cox, you know full well that New York is a state that has been built on the back of immigrants, and you have a president of the United States who you have often defended, who is a Republican, who is, not so hot on immigration and is making it very clear that he's willing to separate kids from their families and do all of that. I mean, you can't, with a straight face, think that that isn't going to help you Republicans in New York.
You know, Andrew Cuomo has dwelt on that. He's even putting out paid ads about separating children from their mothers. You know, that happens every day with his own state troopers. When they arrest a mother who has a child, that child is then separated from the mother. And if there's another family member, take it. If not, it goes to child services. That happens with his own state troopers. So it's the height of hypocrisy for Andrew Cuomo to be calling out the president for that happening at the borders with illegals who are crossing in into the United States.
Well, even your president has said that he was wrong, basically. His wife is saying he was wrong. I mean, you know, two wrongs don't make a right, and that seems to be your argument here.
There was a huge hue and cry in the media on it that the president, because of that, he was pressured. But look, Andrew Cuomo is going to play the national issues to the hilt because he is basically empty here in New York State. As the most corrupt governor in more than 100 years, he knows he doesn't have much of a future here in New York State.
Well, you keep saying that, and yet, you know, I'm trying to draw you out on something, which is the Trump factor. He's your president. You've defended him in the past. It's going to be a year in which an awful lot of people are angry at that president. And, you know, you can't say, well, Cuomo's people arrest people and they separate them from the mothers. This is a huge issue here.
We had special elections several months ago, and after that, there was a headline in the New York Times, and the headline was, Democrats in New York expected a big blue wave, turns out to be a ripple, with the Atlanta Fed predicting that we're going to have 4.5% growth in the economic growth in the third quarter. That blue wave is not only just a trickle now. There's a potential for a red wave that is going to be helping us all across the country hold on to the House of Representatives, and it'll also help us here in New York State. Outside of New York City, Andrew Cuomo's job approval is less than President Trump's job approval outside of New York City, and that's where the biggest vote comes. Almost 50% of the vote comes from outside New York City. About 75% of the vote comes from outside New York City.
Now, there's a big feeling among political watchers that the state Senate will flip to the Democrats. Do you disagree with that?
You know, they said that 4 years ago when we had to win 9 out of 10 state Senate races in order to hold on to our majority in the state Senate. And guess what? We won 9 out of 10. Now we have to win there are 5 open seats. We have to win all of those in order to hold on to our majority in the state Senate. And as I look at them one by one, we will win those, and there's a good chance that we'll pick up another one in Nassau to give us along with Senator Simca Felder, who caucuses with the Republicans, will give us one extra vote beyond the Republican majority after November 6th.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Janus Union case. Supreme Court has just come down with it. It's going to mean, of course, that there are fewer union members in New York State, because when people get the message that they don't have to be in the union and they can save that money that they're giving to the union. But there are many people who are furious. And in the past, the Republican Party, including the state Senate you just spoke of, has been very careful not to alienate the unions. Aren't they going to get tarred and feathered on this?
Well, what it means is the unions are going to have to work very hard to get the allegiance of their members. And that's not bad. That's what unions ought to do, particularly municipal unions. In the end, the union members are going to vote for whom they believe is the best person to govern this state. And in this case, it's turning to the Republican candidate. The Democrats have failed with respect to New York State. Over the last 10 years, 1 million citizens have left New York State, more than any other state, 100,000 a year. This state needs to get its fiscal house in order and needs to have the kind of fiscally responsible, good Republican government that will stop that draining of our citizens and establish New York once again as the leader among the states that it should be. At the moment, it is dead last as far as having the highest taxes, the worst regulatory environment, the least business-friendly environment. Major firms are now leaving to go to other places. People who have done well here in New York leave for other states where the taxing regime is better. New York needs to have good government again.
Okay.
Not corrupt government. That's the problem.
I got a couple of minutes. I just want to spend one, which is very interesting, and that is the Staten Island primary, where convicted felon Mr. Grimm takes on Mr. Donovan, and Donovan is endorsed, the more moderate, is endorsed by the President of the United States, and Donovan wins, and he wins fairly comfortably. What do you make of that?
Oh, there were polls showing he had several weeks before he was 10 points down, and he wins 60-40. It was a huge win. It was a win for the party. We backed him from the start. We, the state party, had boots on the ground supporting him starting in December of last year, working hard to get the petitioning done, to get the third-party support that he needed in order to win the general election, doing all the things that you need to do. And that's what a state party does, and the Staten Island Party was right there with us working on it. And then, of course, the president came in and endorsed him. And in Staten Island, like throughout upstate New York and Long Island, that endorsement is going to be very important to energize our base, get it out, and in order to win, even here in blue New York State. Because blue New York State isn't West Side Manhattan blue. It's blue-collar blue. Outside of New York City.
I want to talk to you really quickly about, we got a minute, about the polls. The polls have been wrong. We saw the Cortez victory 35 points behind in the polls. She was, and she wins by a comfortable margin. What do you think this means?
Well, you know, the Siena poll, 2 weeks before the 2014 election for governor, had our candidate, Rob Astorino, at 33%. He ended up with 40%. Yes, the polls were wrong then, and the polls, the Siena poll, will make our candidate look like he's not doing, although he's doing 21 points better now than Rob Astorino was doing 4 years ago. But still, they'll have him behind Andrew Cuomo. In the end, as with George Pataki, by the way, in 94, the poll said he wasn't going to win several days before that election. In the end, he won. We're going to prove the polls wrong again come November 6th, and we'll have a Republican governor of this state.
Yes or no? I'm out of time, but do you think the polls are with the Democrats?
No, the polls here just don't reflect the energy for change, for a government that's not corrupt, that will draw out. Their model is based on something from the past, not the future. We, the Republicans, are the future for New York State.
Well, while we don't agree on that, it is always wonderful to have Ed Cox, the chairman of the New York State Republican Party, on the show. Ed, you keep coming back. I really think that is just great. You know, of course,
good to be with you, Alan.
You know, of course, that we do invite Andrew Cuomo to come, and he doesn't. But that's his choice.
He doesn't, and because he doles out his appearances in order to keep all the media off balance, and then he picks and chooses what, rather than getting information out to the public through the media about what's going on, whether it's good or bad, and keeping the public informed, he uses his appearances as a tool, political tool, to promote his own political ambitions. That's not the way government should work.
We are out of time. Our guest has been Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Ed, again, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure to be with you, Alan.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.